Good morning and welcome in the name of Jesus. It's good to see everyone here today. I'm glad that I didn't have to make a decision about whether we're having church or not, that the weather kind of cooperated pretty good today. I'd like to welcome any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us and welcome those who are worshiping via the live stream. We are gathered here this morning to worship God. He is our creator, our life sustainer. He is our help in time of trouble. He gives us joy as we walk through life. Psalms 32:11, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Rejoice with joy for what the Lord has done for us. He loved us so much that he gave us the greatest gift that could ever be given in Jesus. And then he gave himself, not just through Jesus, but he gave us his Holy Spirit as well to live in us. So praise God this morning for his goodness and his mercy that he pours out on us each day. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your best, the best of what could ever be offered. Thank you for loving us beyond what we can imagine. You gave us Jesus to make a way for us to be with you forever. Lord, you made that gift free, and all we need to do is believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus, you are Lord. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. You're so good to us, Lord. We come before you, God, to praise you and honor you. Just pray that you would move among us. Pray that you would bind the enemy and cast him out of our midst. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Good morning. I invite you to stand for worship. Next song, and the offering schedule is in your bulletin, so you can see what this month's offerings will be going towards. And children may come forward with their coins for My Coins Count.
this is now. Just thinking about the mystery and the amazingness of the picture of salvation, how we see the snow come down from the sky and then the ground turns white, and that's pretty clear, but how your blood, the symbol of life, stains and makes things red, but then it makes us white as snow, just like when snow covers the ground. It's just amazing to fathom. We just come before you recognizing that our salvation and every breath that we take is from you, and that to give back to that, we offer a portion of what you've provided us with to be used for your work in the church. And I just pray for the missions that it's going to go to this month, that you would richly bless them and allow us to be the avenue through which you do that, that we could be a part in that way of spreading your gospel throughout the world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Listen to these words from Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So, about a month ago or so at Flowing Waters, we were studying about foundations. And so in that, those verses, and those were the words of Christ, so this was one of his parables. Do you notice what happened to both those men and how they built their houses? Jesus said, when the storms come. He didn't say if, it's when. So those storms will come. And so, you know, knowing Jesus does not keep us from that. But in the midst of those storms and the chaos and the drama, if we have our foundation on Jesus Christ, our lives will stand. And this song that we're going to sing is Jesus' Firm Foundation. Thank you.
Take
Our strength comes from you, and we thank you for the strength that you give us. And God, we just pray for Tony now as he brings the message. Just give him clarity of thought and a voice, and give him boldness to speak what your word says for us today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children forward. Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? Did you guys play in the snow yesterday?
Yeah.
Did you have fun? That's good. So this morning we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. Does anybody know what a spiritual gift is? Jesus would be an example of a spiritual gift. Yeah, Jesus, he showed us what spiritual gifts are. Jesus had shown us many different things that the Holy Spirit empowered him to do, like healings and speaking words of prophecy and different things. Jesus showed us what spiritual gifts are. Well, God gives us spiritual gifts or abilities to bring honor and glory to him. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in our hearts and we receive a spiritual gift. Now, that spiritual gift might be a talent that I already have, but God, he turns the power up. Just like you turn the heat up on a heater and it gets hotter, the Holy Spirit empowers us to maybe use talents that we already have. See, I might be a craftsman. I might like to build things with my hands, and God might use that as my spiritual gift to bring honor and glory to him. It might not be that either. In Exodus 35, God tells Moses to build a tabernacle. And when he does that, God names two men, and he gives the gift of craftsmanship to those men. Bezaliel and Oholiab, they have the ability and understanding to build any kind of craft. So they could work with gold, silver, bronze. They could weave different fabrics. God empowered them to do that. They could work with wood. So, and then God also gave them the ability to teach that to other people. Because if we have two people that know how to do the work, does a big job get done very quickly? No, it doesn't. When we have a lot of people helping, we get a large job done really quick. So God gave them the ability to teach as well. So a spiritual gift may be a talent you already have, or it could be something different. It could be something supernatural, like healing or speaking in tongues, and there's several others as well. So what we can do is we can look at what we're able to do already, and we can use that to honor God. And maybe that is our spiritual gift or not, but we can honor God in everything that we do. So I'd like to pray for you guys, and then you may have a snack and head back to your seats. Should we pray? Heavenly Father, I just pray that you bless these children. I pray that you would grow their talents and their gifts. And when they know you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior, that you would empower them to use them to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys may have a snack and then head back to your seats. Well, good morning again. I would like to take a few minutes to spend in prayer, first for Alvin and Janet, and the second part of the prayer will be for our nation, because I believe it's good for us as a church to be praying for our nation, and God tells us that in His Word that we should be doing that. So will you join me in prayer for Alvin and Janet, and second for our nation? Heavenly Father, we thank you for watching over Alvin and Janet. Bring healing to Alvin's body. Restore the lost movement to his leg. We ask that you speed up his rehab process so that he can come home and be with Janet, a place that he's comfortable. Lord, I just pray that you pour out your peace on Alvin and Janet and comfort them in this time of change, in turmoil. I just pray that they would feel your presence right there alongside of them. Lord, in your word, you tell us to pray for our leaders and our nation, and we ask you to move in the hearts of our leaders. You have placed them over us. I just pray that you would give them godly wisdom to lead in ways that honor you. And as we enter a political season, bring leaders into power that will honor you. Bring peace and unity to this nation, and especially to your church. Help us to show the love of Jesus no matter what happens. Lord, we trust you, and we know that you're in control of everything, and that no matter what leader is in place, you are working to bring things for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Visiting Janet, she said that they're hoping to bring Alvin home on Wednesday, so keep praying that he would be able to come home on Wednesday this coming week. So our message in this series, the messages, will be looking at the different spiritual gifts that God gives us and how we can use them. Each message in the series after today will cover three spiritual gifts. Yes, that's cramming a lot of material into one sermon, but it is good to review those, and I would encourage you to dig into them more as well as we move along in this series. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and 11. Just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. In everything, to Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Each one of us received at least one spiritual gift from God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. When we accept Christ as our Lord and our Savior in our hearts, we not only were given the gift of salvation, but also a spiritual gift as well. These gifts may stem from our talents, but they're not limited to that. The two men in the children's message, they may have been craftsmen to begin with, but God took their skills and their talents and increased them beyond the skills and talents they already had. And God does this for us through His Spirit, for His honor and for His glory. We do not earn the gifts that God gives us. It's not like the workplace where my effort and my hard work earn me the next level or position. It's not like climbing the corporate ladder. If I use this gift well enough, God is going to give me the next one because I earned it. That's not how it works. We're given these gifts to honor and glorify God, not our own will or our own desire. Yes, God puts a desire in us to serve and honor Him. That's different than the self-seeking will that we might have. These gifts can bring encouragement and strength to the body of Christ, growing our faith, growing our brotherhood as believers. And this is a cycle. God gives the gifts, and if we use them, we bring honor and glory to Him. And when we honor and glorify Him, we grow in our faith. And when we grow in our faith, we use those gifts even more. And we honor God even more. It's this cycle that should be continually happening in our lives. 1 Corinthians 12, 4-7 and verse 11. Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. And verse 11. One and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as He wills. These verses tell us that a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of us. Manifestation is one of those words that we think, boy, how does that apply to me? It's an event. It's an action. It's an object that clearly shows something. God's Spirit is working through us, which clearly points people to God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 11 tells us that the gifts are from God through the Holy Spirit. All of the gifts that God gives come through the Holy Spirit that is at work in our hearts and our souls. The gospel is spread because people see spiritual gifts in action, showing them God's power and love. Let me clarify that a little bit more. Yes, people experiencing God's move is good. And people experiencing the move and power of the Holy Spirit may draw them closer to God, may it get them to ask questions. But when people see gifts like healing and prophecy at work, it may draw them to a faith in Jesus, or may have them ask questions about how did that happen? What is going on? But there also has to be the next part. The fruits of the Spirit have to be evident in the people that are using their spiritual gifts. Because if people see something miraculous happen and there's not any fruits of the Spirit behind that, is it real? Because the enemy likes to counterfeit what God is doing, to lure people away from God. There has to be evidence of the Holy Spirit at work, filling us with the fruits of the Spirit, joy, peace, patience, etc. It has to be evident in us. That is what really draws people to the Lord, those fruits of the Spirit. Sure, something miraculous may get their attention, but it's that life change when we have the fruits of the Spirit in us that makes a difference. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. They did these miraculous things. Yet, the Holy Spirit wasn't working through them, changing their lives. There wasn't evidence of the fruits of the Spirit in them. And Jesus tells them to get away from me. I never knew you. Maybe that's where this lack of supernatural gifts in the church stems from. We carry that fear of falsehood, that fear that hinders what God wants to do, because God gives good gifts. He wants what is best for us, but We don't want anything false to be in God's church. We want the Holy Spirit to be alive and active, and we don't want anything from the enemy to come in and be a part of that. So we tend to keep the good away so that the false doesn't enter in as well. But what we're really doing is we're not allowing God to work fully. We're hindering what God has planned for us and what He wants for us, and we're actually helping out the enemy. Because the church is not 100% healthy. We might be crippled because of this action, because we don't want anything false to be a part of it. But we're missing out on the good things that God truly has for us. This is why God gives us the gift of discernment, so that we can know what is from the enemy and what is not. He gives us the ability to discern what is coming from Him and what isn't. Yes, we need to be on guard. Be aware of what's going on. Be aware of the things that are happening. But we need to allow God to work. Spiritual gifts are very important to us. We need to understand them. They're good for us to know how to use. They strengthen the body of Christ. They bring encouragement in times of trouble. They draw people to faith in Jesus because they see the fruits of the Spirit working in us and through us. I'm going to be looking at a bunch of different questions in the rest of the message, and I'm going to be using John Beiler's Use That Gift little study guide that he has, that we have. I'm going to use that as a guide along with Scripture to look at some questions. So what are the spiritual gifts in the Bible? So we're going to read through the spiritual gifts that are in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the performing of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, that's discernment, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Verse 27 and to 31 in the same chapter. Now you are the body of Christ, an individual member of it, and God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in other tongues? Do all interpret? But desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way. Romans 12, 3 to 8. That's Romans 12, verses 3 to 8. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, and in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving with generosity. Leading with diligence. Showing mercy with cheerfulness. And Ephesians 4:11-13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. These scriptures give us a list of the gifts that God gives. Does that mean he can give something outside of that? Sure, he's able to. Many things can fit under different categories of those gifts. Gifts of service, there's many different types of service. Miraculous powers, there's many different miraculous things that can fit under that category. Wisdom, knowledge, and faith. Many things fit under each category. So how do we know what our spiritual gifts are? Well, we can take a test. I mean, I have some booklets in my office if you'd like to take a test. There's many places online that you can take a spiritual gifts test. You can do some observation. You can look at your talents, your skills that you already have. And you can look at ways that God may want to use them to bring honor and glory to him. You can look at what you're passionate about when it comes to God. Maybe you love worshiping God in song. Well, then you have to ask some more questions. Am I good at leading singing? Can I carry a tune? Is there an opportunity for me to use the gift of worshiping God? I personally love worship. I'm moved in my spirit and my soul, yet I'm not the one who should be up here leading worship. God has gifted me in other ways, but I really enjoy worship. And so we have to ask those questions. Maybe we see something in someone else and we can be that encouragement for them to step out and use their gifts. So if you see something in someone, whether that's leadership, whether they're really good at worship or prayer or any one of the other spiritual gifts, if you see that in someone, speak up and encourage them to use their gifts. When God calls us to something, he empowers us. It usually doesn't happen until we step out in faith and we're required to use those gifts that God empowers us. There's that faith portion that we need to step out and use the gifts before we're empowered. We need to listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking into us. If we're noticing something continually, God keeps bringing up people for you to pray for. Maybe you have the gift of intercession, lifting people up in prayer. That could be your gift. Whether we have the gift of healing or not, God, through his Holy Spirit, may prompt us to pray for someone to be healed. He may empower us in that moment that we speak up and start praying, and that person can be healed. To say that's not my gift, I'm not going to do that, especially when God is bringing that to our attention, that I should be praying for healing for that person, that's not right. We need to be open to following what God is calling us to do, telling us to do on a daily basis. We need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, listening to what he is telling us to do. We can develop that skill of being in tune with the Spirit when we search it out, we seek it out, and put it into action. Our gifts, they need to be nurtured and grown. Plants, they like when the soil is loose so the water and the food and the nutrients can get to the roots of the plant. Our gifts need that kind of nourishment. Nourishment in God's Word. It breaks up the soil of our hearts so it becomes productive again. So it doesn't make a barrier, not allowing the Holy Spirit and our spiritual gifts to be at work. Spending time in God's Word helps us grow. It gives us direction. Through scripture reading and prayer, these are great ways to find and develop our spiritual gifts. But we also have to put them into action, not just sit and wait and read the Bible and pray and expect God to move. This is for wisdom to know what to do. There also has to be action to go along with that. Because the Bible is living and active, the Holy Spirit will speak to us through the words of God and through times of prayer. And when we are faithful to God's leading, those fruits of the Spirit come out of us. And they're seen by the world around us. They've seen the difference in us. And that is what really draws people to Christ. Can we have more than one spiritual gift? Yes. When God calls us to new roles and in new directions, He empowers us to what He is calling us to. Yet we might have that one gift that is the strongest. My gift is faith. I believe that God will do what He says He is going to do and that He is able to do anything. But God has enabled me to do things like preach and show mercy to people. So yes, we can have more than one spiritual gift. But remember, we have at least one. Is it okay to want a certain gift? Yes, it's okay to desire a spiritual gift. Some of that depends on our motives, though. Are you doing it for yourself? Are you doing it to bring honor and glory to God? 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy." If we're desiring a gift out of love for God and His people, ask Him for it. Take that step of faith and try it. But do that with the expectation that God is going to move. Maybe you want the gift of healing so that God's love and compassion can be poured out on those who are hurting, those who you see all around you that have ailments and hurts. You just want to heal them out of God's love for you. But if you want that gift of healing for recognition for yourself, don't bother asking for it. Ask God to fix your heart first. Then maybe He'll give you the gift of healing. But ask God to work in your heart. I want to leave you with Matthew 7, verse 11. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? God has given us His best. It may feel like you don't have much to offer or that you're very strong. But here's the good part. God is strong. We just need to be faithful. Because when we're weak, that's when God can really work and God can really move. Because if we're strong, we tend to do it ourselves. But when we're weak, we rely on God for everything. So as we go forward in this series and we look at all the spiritual gifts, ask God to show you more of His gifts in you. Ask Him to reveal who He is and how He wants to work through you. Ask Him to reveal what He has already given you and empower you to use that. Also, Ask him to reveal what he wants to give you in the future. And then come with an expectation of God moving and working through you. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives in us. And if that wasn't more than we could ever need, you have blessed us with spiritual gifts so that we can honor you and build each other up, build up your church to encourage and strengthen and point people to Christ. Reveal the gifts that you have given us. Show us how to use them for your honor and your glory. We desire that every gift would be present in this church so that your full work can be done. Grow us. Strengthen us. Help us to take that step in faith when we feel you are telling us to do something. Help us not to give in to fear and let fear win. Lord, I just pray that you would empower us and strengthen us. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'd like to invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song.
Every good and perfect gift. Well, good morning to all of you. I asked Tony if I could just share a thank you on behalf of Flowing Waters. Christmas time, the church here did a donation for before and after Elevate and Flowing Waters. And on behalf of Flowing Waters, I want to thank you for the gifts. We handed out 8 gift baskets with a basket of popcorn with a gift card in for Weaver's Market. So I just want to thank you and praise you for that. And I just want to share the night we handed them out, some of the people were not there because they had to work. So Anita and I had the privilege to be able to go and visit the people and give them to them personally. The one lady, Will Marie, was the lady that would have shared her testimony here back in October of last year. And it's just amazing to see what God has done in her and through her. One of the things we had been praying about was her daughter was in a public school, and she was hoping she'd get into a private school in Reading. And she was working 3 jobs to try and keep her rent paid. So she was just like going gung-ho. And to sit with her and hear what God was doing and see the tears running down her face because of the overwhelmingness of what God was doing, she was able to cut 1 job back. God blessed her with an apartment. And in that, God also allowed, or someone called her and said that her daughter can go to a private school. It is all paid for. And so you guys don't get to experience that stuff, and I want to share that with you, that your contribution that you did does actually go, and it blesses people. And I just want to thank you and praise you for being, and don't take me the wrong way, we are not a huge congregation, but the generosity that I feel coming out of here is above and beyond anything. So I applaud you as a congregation for the generosity, for the love that you have. I also want to share that in the past year at Flowing Waters, we had tried some new things. I want to thank those who would have came out and took some of their time to help fold clothing or help clean in some of the people's places. We also, this past year, we were able to take a gas stove out and replace that and put a electric stove in to try and cut some costs for a person. We were able to go out and patch some holes in some little sheds that people had. So we're expanding ourselves a little bit. My hope is in the near future here that you guys can also be part of that, that I can come here and we can use people in the congregation to go out and help us meet the needs in this community. So I just want to thank you and praise you again for that. You can also keep us in prayer as June is when Community Family Fund Days is again. So you will be hearing more about that, but we can use lots of volunteers. So thank you.
Thank you, Rick. It's always good to hear how God is working and moving. There are tables set up in either foyer with slips of paper on, with grocery needs for B&A. If you feel led, please take a slip and bring the item back to church. Those tables are set up the first Sunday of each month, so you can look for them on a regular basis. Global Disciples is having their hometown celebration at Weaverland on January 14th at 6 p.m. with a concert and a time of storytelling. You're invited to that if you would like. Will you stand for the parting benediction? Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.